Turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Acts. The third chapter of the book of Acts. I shall begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 11. And I want to remind each one present that in this service this morning, souls could be saved. In this service this morning, the Lord could add to the membership of this body. In this service this morning, the Lord could give to each of our hearts the revival that we need. My subject is a sinner at the beautiful gate of a temple. A sinner at the beautiful gate of the temple. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. I want you to note again verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, some time ago, I read this exact same scripture and preached on the subject of doing what you can. And to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, I will point out to you that one of the things that Peter and John did was to give this man the benefit of a Christian example. They went to prayer meeting at the hour of prayer or the appointed time. The second thing they did was to give this man a compassionate glance as he looked upon the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John. With compassion, they in turn looked upon him. The third thing Peter did was to give this man a saving name. Peter had once been a successful businessman in the fishing business. But when the Lord called him to follow him, he left this business. And now he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So So they gave him a saving name. And then the fourth thing they did was to reach down and give him a helping hand. Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up. And the fifth thing they did, they took him to the best possible place they could have taken him, inside the house of God. But this morning we're going to look at just verse 2. The man himself, a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried daily, whom they laid at the gate of a temple called Beautiful, to beg or ask alms of them that went into the temple. I have titled the sermon, A Sinner at the Beautiful Gate of the Temple. And it's a simple threefold message that I leave with you. Point number one, this man was lame. Lame from birth. And thus it is a picture of every person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that every person outside of the Lord Jesus is lame because of sin and stands in need of the divine mercy of God Almighty. The sinner is first of all lame in his own flesh. Paul said of his flesh, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. John 3:19 says this, is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And there is no person in the flesh that can possibly please God Almighty. The sinner is not only lame in the flesh, but he's lame in his mind. I've met some people who actually bordered upon being a genius from the standpoint of things knowledgeable in this world. But when it came to spiritual truth, they knew nothing. In fact, when a spiritual thought was interjected, they did not comprehend. And that fits with the biblical teaching of 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither indeed can he know them. They are foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. And once again, I remind every person present, the only man who can understand the truths of this book is that man who's been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Lame in his mind. Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God. But the sinner is not only lame in his flesh and in his mind, he's lame in his heart. Many times you have heard someone say of a sinner, in spite of this particular sin, he or she has a good heart. But that theory is not true. For Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And what man needs is a change of heart, a change of mind. What man needs is something besides the carnal nature. He needs the new birth. He needs that mind to be moved upon by God's Spirit. He needs that heart removed and a new heart put in him. But beyond being lame in flesh and mind and heart, this old Baptist preacher will tell you that every sinner is lame in his own will. You ask me, Brother Brunson, don't you believe in the free moral agency of man? Don't you believe man has a free will? And I will say, yea, yea, 10,000 times yea, but we must qualify it with what the Bible has to say. The only freedom that the will of man has outside of Christ is to act in consistency with his own nature. And you put a lion out in a beautiful green meadow, and in that same meadow you put a little lamb, and the little lamb will eat the green grass, and the lion will eat what, you tell me? Eat the little lamb. The lamb eats grass because it's his nature. The lion will eat the little lamb because it's the lion's nature. You take a fish out of water, put him in sand, he'll die. It's not a fish's nature to swim in sand. And the whole point I'm making is that man who is lame and lame because of sin has a will that's in bondage to sin, and that will can never please God until it has been quickened by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. John 5:40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Men left alone will never come to God. And if there's anything that ought to put you on your face today, it's one day when you were out there a stranger to the grace of God and an alien to the commonwealth of this world, that God in mighty power moved upon you by His Spirit through the preached Word of God and brought you under conviction and caused you to see your own lost condition, because if it had been left to your own thinking and your own seeing, you would have never saw yourself undone outside of the ark of safety. Every sinner is lame. And this man they brought daily to the temple, lame from his mother's womb. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the smallest little baby in this congregation, the newest baby that's been born in this town, has the old Adamic sinful nature. And when that child comes to know right from wrong instead of being bent toward good, the Bible teaches because he's lame in sin, he'll be bent toward evil. That's another reason mothers and daddies ought to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The sinner at the beautiful gate of the temple was not only lame, he was helpless. Every morning, Bill Nouth, James Spivey, Ralph Lindsay, somebody carried this man to the temple. Absolutely helpless. He knew that God's people would be going inside the temple. He knew the people most likely to give to him were Christian people. And we're told that 92% of all monies given to charities in our nation comes from people who belong to churches. Helpless. Had to be carried every day. And then after he was brought to the beautiful gate of the temple, there he sat, unable to move. And just looking for a handout, as people say. And lost friend, you listen to Brother Harold. As this man was lame and helpless, so are you. For man by his own volition cannot lift himself from the miry pit of sin. He cannot lift himself from a state of condemnation to a state of justification. And if he's ever lifted, it'll be by a power outside of his own. It'll be by the divine and mighty power of a sovereign God who sits upon his throne. Isaiah 38:17 confirms this. Behold, for peace, or in the absence of peace, I had great bitterness. Behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul lifted it from the pit of corruption, and has cast all my sins behind thy back. He was helpless. And the third thing about a sinner, he's not only lame and helpless, but without divine intervention, he is also hopeless. He never expected to get well. He never expected to walk again. He never expected for his lot to improve. And thus it is with those who know not my Lord. They don't want a change of heart. They are not expecting a new life. They are satisfied in the same old ritual and the same old routine. They're satisfied to go along accepting conditions as well. But I'm glad that day for this lame, helpless, hopeless man, something beautiful begins to happen. And if you don't learn anything else and miss the whole context of the message, you remember this. The most beautiful things that ever transpire inside the house of God. And so God moves through the Apostle Peter and through the Apostle John. And it was not Peter taking him by the right hand that caused the healing to come. It was the mighty moving power of God. And oh, my friend, it is not the persuasion or the personality of the preacher that brings conviction. It is God's Spirit. Still, I have preached when I thought I had well prepared a sermon, and nothing happened. And then I have preached again, and I have seen men's hearts and women's hearts melted. You know the difference? Because the preacher doesn't do the convicting, the Holy Spirit does it. And when he does it, there's change. And so instead of this man remaining crippled for the rest of his life, divine intervention comes. He's healed. And he starts walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I'm different to most preachers. But I believe if a lame, helpless, hopeless sinner has been changed by divine, miraculous power, that you will know immediately a change in that person's life. No longer will he have to wait for somebody to take him home. No longer will he have to wait for those to bring him to the gate of the temple. No longer will he be in this crippled condition, because God has moved. And when one has been saved by God's marvelous grace, the heart leaps for joy. They want to walk in the paths of the Lord. They want to go to the house of God. And they want to praise God for what has been done. And finally, it will be evident that everyone around that person, that God has wrought a change in their life. The scripture that I read said they knew that this man who is now leaping and praising God and inside the temple was the man that sat at the beautiful gate. And they are all there with great amazement, wondering. They see with their own eyes what's happened. And you make an open confession of faith here. And if it's genuine and real, not only will it be in your own heart, but it'll be manifest and obvious to others that know you. Because when God changes, he does it in such a fashion that there's no question about it. There was a day that I was lame. There was a day that I was helpless. There was a day that I was hopeless. But when Jesus found me, that lame, helpless, hopeless condition was changed. And in my heart today, there is a song of praise, not for what I did, not for what the preacher did, but what Jesus did for me. Brother Bob, let's sing. May we stand together.
230.